Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's gone almost 10 minutes past the hour of 9. Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the noble day, the beautiful day of Friday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this day a day in which we can gain closeness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, it is a day in which we're supposed to increase in our ibadat, nafil salah, recital of the Quran, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Reciting abundance of durood upon our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and very, very important is to make lot of dua for the Muslims throughout the four corners of the world, the Palestinians, the issues that they are going through, the difficulties that they are going through. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate those difficulties, open Masjid al-Aqsa completely for the Muslims, bring Masjid al-Aqsa into the control of the Muslims. But really, this will only happen, making dua is extremely important, but our actions have to be in conformity with our dua as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see that we are trying to do good actions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help most definitely will be with us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. Other parts of the world as well, Muslims also going through difficulties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate those difficulties. And here in our own country also, we know things are becoming difficult as the days go by. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the Muslims of our country as well. This is again a Friday morning. Alhamdulillah, it is the Sahaba Focus, and in this week, Maulana Muhammad Aku, who is our guest on the program, Maulana speaks to us directly from Darul Uloom Newcastle, and Maulana speaks on the lives of various Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. This week, Maulana, last week, in fact, Maulana mentioned, touched on very lightly on Khandaq, which was a very, very important expedition in the history of Islam in the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the life in order to understand that entire battle, etc., you got to understand the life of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala. So Maulana will be taking a look at the life of this great Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala, and really, dear listeners, these programs are there for us to learn about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom, because we have to love them in order for our iman to be complete, in order for our deen to be complete. We have to have great love for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom, and it is very imperative, it is very important for us to learn about the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom, in order so that our love for them can increase. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of us the tawfiq to learn about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom, to love them, and very, very important to emulate and to copy their lives, to inspire, to live our lives like how they had lived their lives. Their lives was all about serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and advancing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of understanding. Let us listen attentively.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our respected listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand our deen and to understand the status of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. My respected listeners, we have to understand that through Sahaba, deen has reached us. And we have to be cautious in regards to them. If we're going to show disrespect to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, or discard for them, or mocking at their lives, actually our iman will be lost. Sahaba radiallahu anhum are the greatest of people. Quran declares that. And then when we are going to start shirking in our beliefs in regards to Sahaba radiallahu anhum, or understanding the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then we actually challenging the Quran Kareem. So we have to be careful. As Muslims, we have to understand the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how great they are and what a high position they hold in our deen. Every Sahabi is great, every Sahabi is special. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, last week we mentioned that we will be discussing Khandaq. In the time of Rasulullah, and a great man who, from whom we will be able to understand Khandaq, is a Sahabi by the name of Sa'd bin Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu. It was during the early Medina period, or so to say the latter Meccan period, say the latter Meccan stage, when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu to Medina, Munawwara. It was between the 12th year and the 13th year after Nubuwah, where Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu was making da'wat and ta'aleem and the effort of deen in Medina Munawwara, himself and Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum. Every region was covered. They would actually have a halqa of ta'aleem in a central area of the town or that vicinity, because Medina Munawwara had many vicinities. One vicinity was the Banu Abdul Ashhal area near Daru Bani Ghafar. So this vicinity, this region, they're having the Halqa of Ta'aleem there. So what Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu would do, he would start the Ta'aleem in a central area, in a garden, near a well, a nice, beautiful environment, and he would send brothers to go to the farms and call the others, similar to a Ta'aleemi Gasht, and brothers would join. On this one occasion, they came to this area of the Banu Abdul Ashhal, and the two chiefs of the area, namely Usayd bin Hudayr, and the more senior one was Sa'd bin Mu'ad. They heard of this. So Sa'd says to Usayd, just go stop these people. They are actually calling to some new faith. What is this they're doing? Our permission hasn't been sought. Why are they doing such a thing? Oh Usayd, if it wasn't for the fact that my relative, As'ad bin Zurara, is the guide of Mus'ab, I would have went there and sorted out the matter. So Usayd goes, he sees the gathering, and he starts raging and shouting at Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. Mus'ab bin Umair politely, respectfully, listens, hears him out, and then makes a request. Oh, respected leader, ya Sayyida Qawmihi, I have one request. You haven't heard what we have to say. Listen to us for a few moments, hear us out. If you agree with it, you are welcome. If not, we will move before you speak the second time. In radita amran qabiltahu. And if you don't want it, tahawwalna anka ila khayri. We will shift, we will go, we will depart. Usayd says, that's fair. He sits in the halqa of ta'aleem and he was touched and he was affected. It wasn't even much minutes later when the reporter says, the expression on his face changed. He says, how do I be like you? Mus'ab puts him with someone to explain to him one side, tahara basics. He comes back to the halqa. He recites the kalima, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sits again. And now a few minutes later, he has concern for the next person. He's thinking now, such a beautiful deen, what is being taught is so perfect, is so correct, I can't keep it for myself. He goes now to Sa'd bin Mu'az. Sa'd bin Mu'az, radiallahu anhu. He says to Sa'd, hey, you know what, you rather go there. Now remember, Usayd is just new to Islam, and his concern is now, I'm not going to explain Islam so much, but I have to get him there to that halqa, to that gathering. He just embraced Islam right now. But already his concern is there to save the next person, to show others the truth. This was the mizaj of Sahaba. This was the understanding, the temperament of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that nature of selflessness. Sa'd bin Mu'ad, he, was prompted by Usayd to get there. And also Usayd put some influence forward that, you know what, you'd rather go there because maybe your relative is endangered. And now Sa'd had a lot of love for his relative, so he goes there. And he sees everything is hunky-dory, carrying on perfectly in the gathering. So he realized Usayd wanted to get him there. He comes there. And the halqa is taking place, and he now interrupts and enraged. He was enraged, and he shouts at Mus'ab bin Umair. And the poor inviter to Allah, receives so much of, rebuke, attack. This is what Sahaba radiallahu anhum went through, my respected listeners. We had a Jamaat from Palestine in our masjid a few days ago, and so beautifully they explained. They were telling us about the first Jamaat that came to Palestine in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Obviously, in recent times we're talking about, obviously Sahaba radiallahu anhum took deen there, and this Amir of the Jamaat was telling us that in his masjid in Hebron, we have some of our students from this region, and he's also a father of one of our students. He says, 30 some odd years ago in my masjid, there was not one person in my masjid for Fajr Namaz, not one. He says, sometimes I would feel hurt, I would go spend the night in the masjid. He says, today after Allah gave us this beautiful work of Dawat, today there's more than 500 people in my masjid. And my masjid has been extended 4 times. This is the beautiful work. Then the Imam of the Yatta Markaz was telling us that the first Jamaat that came, as they were walking on the road, they would walk and make gush, people would pelt them with tomatoes and onions and potatoes. This was the qurbani. This was the sacrifice given. When one invites to Allah Ta'ala, this must take place. This is an honor in Allah's path to receive this challenge, this difficulty. Yeah, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu is being rebuked. Sa'd bin Mu'az says, how dare you? Get out of here. Without permission you come here. Why do you do this? If you want your life, then move now. Mus'ab, respectfully. See, as a Muslim, we can't retaliate harshly. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu respectfully says, ya Sayyida Qawmihi, oh respected leader, oh respected leader, I have one request. You haven't heard us out. What are we advocating? What are we teaching? Can you hear us out first? Then, if you agree with it, you are welcome. Otherwise, we will shift. We will depart before you speak the next time, sir. He says, what you said is fair. And Saf, he participates, he sits down, and the halqa of ta'alim takes place. It wasn't moments later when Sa'd bin Mu'adh was affected by the environment, affected by the halqa of ta'alim, affected by haqq, affected by Qur'an, and he now said, what to do to become like you? To explain to him, or to explain to him a few masail, the one side, and then he comes forth, and he recites the kalima, he sits in the halqa again, and a few minutes later, he has the concern now. I can't accept this beautiful deen myself. I have to bring others. And he goes. He gathers his entire vicinity. He was the chief of the Abdul Ashhal area. Now, Abdul Ashhal is a very great Medina tribe. In the hadith of Tirmidhi, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ دُوَرِ الْأَنصَارِ. Can I inform you of the best dwellings and families of the Ansar? Ansar are the people of Medina Munawwara, the helpers of the deen of Allah. So Allah's Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, please tell us. Because in many hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ansar are very great. Ansar are very special. If it wasn't for the Hijrah, I would have been from the Ansar. In many hadith, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says this. In hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ansar are my inner garment, are very, very close to my heart. In many, many hadith. وَإِنَّ النَّاسَ سَيَكْفُرُونَ وَيَقِلُّونَ. People will increase and multiply, but Ansar will become less. Please accept the good of them and overlook them. And one report of Tirmidhi also, hadith is, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَا يَبْغَضُ الْأَنصَارَ رَجُلٌ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. He who has iman on Allah in the last day will never dislike or disregard the Ansar. He will love the Ansar. In many ahadith, the Ansar are praised and their reality is of great nature and of great superiority in the deen of Allah Ta'ala. In ahadith, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for the Ansar. Allahumma ghafir lil Ansar, wa li dharari al Ansar, wa li dharari dhararihim. Oh Allah, forgive the Ansar, the offspring of the Ansar, the progenies of the Ansar. Oh Allah, forgive. But now when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about the different tribes of the Ansar, he said, the best tribe of the Ansar is Banu Najjar. And then second to that is Banu Abdil Ashhal. Banu Abdil Ashhal. Then third is Banu Al-Harith ibn Al-Khazraj. And then fourth is Banu Sa'idah. Banu Sa'idah. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then reiterated to say, وَفِي دُوَرِ الْأَنصَارِ كُلِّهَا خَيْرٍ. Every tribe of the Ansar has goodness and are special. So this is one of the great tribes of the Ansar, Abdul Ashhal. Where did they come from? What sacrifice was made? Sa'd bin Mu'adh gathers his entire vicinity. Everyone was gathered. Every person in that area, in his town, under his authority, was brought together. And Sa'd gives them full power. He was a leader. So he speaks to them with authority. He asked them, كَيْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ أَمْرِي فِيكُمْ. How do you know of me, O my people? They said, O Sa'd, سَيِّدُنَا حَقَّى. You are rightfully. You are rightfully. We say it with surety. You are our leader. You are our chief. سَيِّدُنَا حَقَّى. وَأَفْضَلُنَا رَأْيَا. وَأَكْمَلُنَا أَقْلَى. Your views are the best. Your intellect is perfect. We respect and revere you. We all are under you. He says, okay, if that's what you say, then I implore you, I encourage you, and I insist that I want you all to come to the deen of Allah, because I want that for you. Otherwise, I have nothing to do with you. Now, my respected listeners, he could speak like that because these are his people. You and I go to someone and you force him to accept Islam like this, he's not going to listen to you. There's different ways to speak to different people, different strokes for different folks. These are people under you who will listen to you. So this was the line Sa'd radiallahu anhu advocated. And look at the impact that night, before nightfall, that entire vicinity of Abdul Ashhal were all Muslim. فَمَا أَمْسَى فِي دِيَارِ بَنِي عَبْدِ الْأَشْهَلِ رَجُلٌ وَلَمْ رَأَةٌ إِلَّا مُسْلِمًا أَوْ مُسْلِمًا. Everyone accepted Islam in that vicinity, in that region. That's how beautiful it is to bring one person to Allah's deen. When Alim was asking my class, that how can you make one Ramadan how can you get 20 Ramadans in 1 year? Obviously not possible. But then he explained so beautifully, bring 20 people to Allah's deen and teach them the value of Ramadan. It's an effort to take place. Or those who are not connected to masjid also, connect them. Whatever they will do, Allah will give you so much of reward. Your reward will be so great. Your reward will be so abundant. You will get more than 20 Ramadan. Because what they are doing, Allah is going to give you. Imagine if you got half an hour of life left. Half an hour of life. Imagine. If you're going to make tilawat of the Quran, which is most meritorious and valuable, and we have to do that. That half an hour you get so much of thawab for every letter of the Quran. There's so much of thawab for every page of the Quran, for every ayat you are reading. And if you're going to spend the last half an hour of your life in salah, how much of reward you get? Very, very great. And in that interim, you say, you know what, I'm going to bring somebody to Islam. This person was interested in Islam, I'm going to bring him to Allah's deen. Or this person is not coming to the masjid, I'm going to go and speak to him and encourage him. I'm going to make this one mulaqat for Allah's sake. And you spoke to him about akhirah, about Jannah and about Jahannam. And in that, your maut comes. If you were just making an ibadat on your own, yes, your books of deeds close after you finish. And you will get good rewards. But when you brought someone else to Allah's deen, then when you leave this world, your rewards do not stop. Imagine this entire vicinity accepting Islam. Who gets the reward? Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. Because this is the investment that you will be doing for your akhirah when you bring people to Allah's deen and have concern for them. Anyway, Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. Such a great life he lived. Always when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah and then came to Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi Sa'd bin Mu'adh kept very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why it's reported that his Islam was so much of barakah for the Muslims, because he was a senior personality. And so much of love he had for Allah's deen. Every taqaza and every task of deen, Sa'd bin Mu'adh was ready. And also interestingly, among the people who accepted Islam first at his hands was his mother, Kabsha binti Rafi'. About Kabsha binti Rafi'a radiallahu anha, I told you about, we have discussed before. That was the mother of Sa'd bin Mu'adh. That's where we would have discussed this incident. That's where it must be in your memory already, the incident that we just discussed that became the means of Sa'd radiallahu anhu's hidayat. That was also the means of his mother's hidayat. Because in that discussion of Sa'd to his community, the first person to accept Islam was his mother. And to take bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the females. The first one, the first of the people to take bay'ah at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the mother of Sa'd bin Mu'adh. Ummu Sa'din, Kabsha binti Rafi' bin Ubaid radiallahu anha. And the second with her was Ummu Amir binti Yazid. And the third was Hawa binti Yazid ibn al-Sakan. So these three women took bay'ah by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accepted Islam, and by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. Actually, they accepted Islam long before that, by Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. But they took bay'ah at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hands first, meaning they were eager to serve Allah's deen. And every task of deen, Sa'd bin Mu'adh was ready. Even in the Battle of Badr, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was departing from Medina Munawwara with his Sahaba, numbering 313, and they were actually going for the caravan of Quraysh, because that was the task, because the Quraysh had incurred a lot of injustices upon the Muslims, and they had usurped the Muslims' wealth. So on the way, the mushrikeen of Makkah were coming for the Muslims, with 1,000 men strong. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realizes that the caravan has departed. And now in front of us is the army of Quraysh. What do we do? He sat the Sahaba down and they made mashura. What do you all feel? Will you all agree that we have to go for the army? Because Quran speaks of this entire incident, that it was easier for the to go for the caravan. The more difficult task was going for the army. So many were feeling, rather what is easier we go for. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashura with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stands up. O Nabi of Allah, you make decisions. We are happy. Whatever you say, for Allah's deen, we prepare to do anything. Umar radiallahu anhu stands up. He presents his opinion. Same. Allah's deen first. Allah's deen priority. We ready. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still, O my Sahaba, give me your opinions. Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anhu gets up. He presents his encouragement. But no, we go forward. Whatever Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we ready. But then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still asks Sahaba, O Nabi of O my Sahaba, tell me, what do you all feel? Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. What was happening was, the muhajireen were responding, because they were senior. And Ansar were also senior, but second to the muhajireen. So the Ansar were quiet. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to hear what the Ansar are feeling. He didn't want them to feel now that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going forward and we also along with him. And now, you know, it was not part of our bay'ah to defend Medina from outside Medina. Part of the bay'ah was to give life for deen and defend Medina from within. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to hear from the Ansar. Sa'ad gets up and he says, O Nabi of Allah, as though you want us to speak. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah, yes, I want to know your opinion. He says so beautifully, O Nabi, Ya Rasulallah, لقد آمنا بك وصدقناك وأعطيناك عهودنا ومواثيقنا على السمع والطاعة. فامضي يا رسول الله فامضي يا رسول الله لما أردت فوالذي بعثك بالحق لو استعرضت بنا هذا البحر لخذناه معك إنا يا رسول الله لصبر في الحرب صدق عند اللقاء ولعل الله يريك منا ما تقر به عينه. O Nabi of Allah, we have brought Iman on you. We believe in you completely, entirely, and we have given you our pledge. and our agreement that we will listen and abide by your every beck and call. O Nabi of Allah, you move in the direction you deem fit by the qasam of that being who has sent you with truth. Even if you take us and command us to go through this ocean, we are with you. We will never walk away. We will never forsake you. O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are firm and we are tolerant and we are patient in times of difficulty and adversity. And we are sincere even when we have to meet the enemy. And hopefully Allah will make you happy with us. Hopefully Allah will make you happy with us. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was elated, was happy with this response of Sa'd bin Mu'az radiallahu anhu. And then now this meant everyone will be happy. When Sa'd radiallahu anhu said this, all the Ansar agreed and everyone was happy to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Badr, and no one wanted to return back, return to Medina. We learn from you, respected listeners. When Allah gives you authority, when Allah gives you a position, use it for Allah's. When Allah has given you some superiority, some position, use it for uniting the Ummah. Use it for helping the Ummah. Don't become a fitna for the Ummah. Don't be people that will cause others to misunderstand deen. Be a means of hidayat for mankind. Invest, use what Allah has given you for our akhirah, and that is shukr. What is shukr? Utilize the favors of Allah for the sake of Allah, for the deen of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wealth Allah has given you, use it for Allah. Authority Allah has given you, use it for Allah. Honor Allah has given you, position Allah has given you, prestige Allah has given you, use it for Allah's deen. Don't be shy to use it for Allah's deen wisely, correctly. This is what Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu did throughout his life. In every occasion, he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then this battle did take place. He was by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's side. And one sad thing happened. And also him and his brother. His brother was also with them in the battle of Badr. Then in the occasion of Uhud, Sa'd radiallahu anhu and his brother participated again. Sa'd radiallahu anhu, Sa'd bin Mu'adh and Amr bin Mu'adh. And it was on the occasion of Uhud. Sa'd radiallahu anhu also participated, and Amr bin Mu'adh participated, was made shaheed. Kabsha bin Rafi, when she comes onto the battlefield to see the Muslimin, she gets the news that her son has passed away. So she asks, rushing, where is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And she sees Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, oh my Nabi, amma idh ra'aytuka salima faqad ashwat al-musiba. Oh my Nabi, as long as I see you are okay, the greatest musibah becomes minute and easy for me to bear. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her condolences and gave her glad tidings and gave her solace in regards to the loss that she had of her son. On the occasion of Uhud, there were 12 from the Banu Abd al-Ashhal who were shaheed. 12. And 30 of them were wounded. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave great glad tidings for the shuhada, the martyrs of Uhud. So throughout Sa'd radiallahu anhu's life, then comes the occasion of Khandaq. Khandaq was an expedition where the entire Arabia, instigated by the Jews of Khandaq, of Khaybar, they were coming, marching towards Medina Munawwara to eradicate Islam. This was their plan. Thousands of men, an army never rallied before. The Jews marched to Makkah to entice the Meccans, you all come. And then they enticed the Ghatfan tribe, and from all sides, they had 1,000 men, they were 12,000 strong, marching towards Medina Munawwara, and they wanted to eradicate Medina Munawwara once and for all, and put an end to Islam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets this news, and he sits down his Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, to make mashura with them. And as we took the different opinions, what should be done, and we have discussed before the life of Salman Farsi, Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. By this time he was liberated. He was not a slave to his Jewish master anymore. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba made concern and made efforts for his liberation, and he was part and parcel of the Mashura, and he was by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his opinion, and his opinion was that we should dig this trench, the Khandaq. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made faithfully a decision that this is what we're going to do. And now he had to start working. And it was a very great thing to be done, but a lot of work was needed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam broke Sahaba into groups of 10. and to dig the trench. Each one had this responsibility of digging approximately 40 meters, meaning the groups, by 10, deep and wide. And as they were busy doing this work, they were praising Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma innal aisha aishul akhirah, faghfir lil ansari wal muhajirah. Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make dua, and then the Sahaba would say, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ مَا بَقِيْنَا أَبَدًا. They would place, we are the ones that have given our pledge to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we will serve Allah's deen, and please Allah Ta'ala, and strive for Allah Ta'ala, as long as we live. And then Abdullah bin Rawaha also, on this occasion of Khandaq, he would praise Allah, and he would say, اللهم لولا أنت ما اهتدينا ولا تصدقنا ولا صلينا فأنزلا سكينة علينا وثبت الأقدام إن لاقينا إن الأولى قد بغوا علينا وإن أرادوا فتنة أبينا. And then he would pull his voice. إن الأولى قد بغوا علينا وإن أرادوا فتنة أبينا. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved these words of praise. Even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would render these words. The words of Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, wherein he says, oh Allah, if it wasn't for your guidance, we would not be hidayah, be guided. Lawla anta, if it wasn't for you, my Allah, mahtadayna, we wouldn't be guided. We wouldn't be on Islam. We wouldn't be on the truth. Allah, you guided us. Wala tafattaqna wala sallayna. Allah, if you didn't give us tawfiq, we would not be able to put forth and present charity in your path. Wala sallayna, nor would we be able to perform prayer for you. Allah, you are giving us tawfiq to do it. You are giving us tawfiq. You are enabling us to serve you. Allah, we thank you for that. فَأَنزِلًا سَكِينَةً عَلَيْنَا. Oh Allah, send your tranquility and peace upon us and keep our feet firm when we have to meet the enemy. Indeed, those, meaning the disbelievers, have transgressed upon us. They are coming to eradicate Medina. And if they want us to leave our deen and shirk in regards to the command of our Allah, abayna, 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 Allah, we will refuse. We will never accept anyone's insinuation, anyone's enticement to forsake our deen. We're not prepared to do it. And this was that environment while the Sahaba were working. And then Abu Talha says, we complained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in regards to our hunger. And we lifted our kurtas to show Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And hajar, each of us had one stone tied, you know, to actually keep the back straight and keep the stomach close to the back so the excruciating pain of hunger, the pangs of hunger is not felt. You know, it's felt it's lessened. It is easened. Then Abu Talha says, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted his kurta, and there were two stones tied to his stomach. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba were making qurbani sacrifice. Allah's Nabi was making more sacrifice. And we also discussed Jabir radiallahu anhu, how he made khidmat and ikram, and he fed the entire jamaat of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, army of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, with that one goat, and Allah Ta'ala put barakah in it. And then also during this digging of the trench, Jabir radiallahu anhu says, there was one boulder at one point where one group was digging. Salman radiallahu anhu was amongst that group. And now they couldn't break that boulder. So they came to complain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Probably they asked, probably because they were hoping that he could say that, let us try and avert the boulder and dig around it. But Allah's Nabi said, I'm coming. And he came. And he had a stone tied to his belly. The days had passed, we haven't eaten. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raised the axe. And he struck it. فَطَرَبَ فَعَادَ كَثِيبًا أَهْيَلْ. That entire boulder became loose sand. It was like completely smashed, you know, to become soft sand. This was the power in the hands of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the help of Allah Ta'ala, more so the help of Allah Ta'ala with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The report of most of the Kutub, Nasa'i, Bukhari Sharif also reports this, and more details come in Nasa'i, where Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he struck the first time, he took Allah's name and he said, Allahu Akbar, I have been granted the keys to Sham, to the Sham region, and I can see the big palaces, the red palaces of Sham from where I am right now. And he struck the second time, saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah has granted Persia, and I can see the palaces of Madain, the white palaces of Madain right from where I am. And he struck the third time, and it completely was grounded, that boulder. Allahu Akbar, Allah has granted me the keys to the lands of Yemen, and I can see the doors of Sana'a from where I am right now. So this was during the interim of this Khandaq. And now when the trench was dug completely, where it was dug around Medina. But see, Medina, there were, one section of Medina was surrounded by mountains. Another section of, other two sections of Medina was surrounded by rocky terrain. There were rocks, you know, black rock. This was caused by a volcanic eruption hundreds of years before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this melted those mountains and it made it into very, very hilly and rugged black rock, rocky terrain. They were known, these are two areas in Medina known as Harra, Harratul Wabra and Harratul Waqim. Waqim. So these three sections of Medina were protected. They were fortified naturally. One section of Medina was open. So that was the region that was where the trench was dug. And Sahaba worked very, very hard. And before the disbelievers reached, the trench was complete. And now, it wasn't just digging the trench and finish. Because these armies are now reaching. And the Muslims now have to be on guard. Because you got a trench. They can very easily build a bridge on that trench and cross. So the Muslims had to be on guard of those trenches 24/7. That was very, very pressurizing. And in this, there was a lot of... So it was actually a battle of a lot of pressure from both sides. Mainly it was shooting arrows from either side, muramat, shooting from this side and shooting from that side. And among the challenges that happened in this was that Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, this great Sahabi, was shot. But in this interim also, in this interim, the Muslims were under a lot of pressure. Why? Because the Jews were outside of Khaybar, and the Mushrikeen, and the Meccans. And there was one Jewish tribe left in Medina, known as Banu Qurayza. So what did Huyay bin Akhtab do? He went to speak to the Banu Qurayza. Because the Banu Qurayza were in good terms with the Muslims. They were under the Muslims of Medina. They were under Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why they were not banished. So the agreement with them was still legal, was still going strong. So Huyay bin Akhtab sneaks into Medina. See, one or two people could sneak in. Because you can go travel through the rocky terrain or travel through the mountain. But you can't travel as an army because it's too difficult to travel through those regions with an army because it was naturally fortified. Maybe Huyay bin Akhtab gets into this region and he goes to knock, to open the, goes to the fortresses of the Banu Qurayza. At first they refuse to allow him entry, then they accept him in and he convinces them that join us in this battle, in this war to eradicate Medina. And everything will be yours after that. You know, we'll destroy Islam and just remove the Muslims, assassinate the messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you come. You are be part and parcel with us. And then Ka'ab bin Asad was then convinced, hey, you know what, I'd rather join you all also. So because Huyay convinced him. So the plan was from inside Medina, he will attack. And from outside, they will attack. And now this added pressure to the Muslims. At first it was just a large army outside Medina. But now we have trouble inside Medina. Because now if Qurayza are going to attack us from behind, how are we going to defend the trenches? And then they will be able to enter, we will be crushed from within, and then we'll be finished. So there was a lot of pressure. Quran speaks of this. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. And when the eyes and the gazes were dazzled, and there was so much of fear that the hearts were reaching and penetrating, reaching into the throats, and you were thinking all sorts of thoughts about your Lord, there the believers were tested, and they were shaken. Then Allah Ta'ala speaks of what the believers said, and what the munafiqeen said. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. The munafiqeen uttered. And those who had diseases in their hearts, weaknesses in their iman, what did they say? مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Oh, the munafiqeen said, this is just a lie. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just promising us false, you know, fantasies, deception. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ طَوْفِكَتْ. Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said certain ajib things, amazing things, that Allah will give victory to Persia. Allah will give us Persia. Allah will give us Yemen. Allah will give us Sham. And now these munafiqeen are mocking at that. And they're saying, see, we can't even go relieve ourselves properly. And he's saying that they didn't have iman. But the mu'mineen had firm conviction. What Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says is 100% correct. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبْ. And a group of them said, يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبْ, O people of Yathrib. Already this is indication that there's a munafiqin uttering this, because a munafiq would refer to Medina as Yathrib still. Because this was long after the Hijrah. After the Hijrah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed the name from Yathrib to Medina Munawwara. يَا أَهْلَ يَثْرِبْ لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَارُجِعُوا. There's no place for you to stay here. Go back home. ويستأذن فريق منهم النبي يقولون إن بيوتنا عورة. And a group of them asked permission to leave. Hey, our houses are exposed and so forth. But their houses were not exposed, but they just wanted to flee from the task and from the responsibility. So when this happened, that Qurayza had, you know, forsaken the Muslims, backstabbed the Muslims, and perpetrated this treason, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Allah, and then he lay down, and it was, you know, he cried to Allah, asked Allah Ta'ala, and then he gets up and he says, Allahu Akbar, abshiru, O Muslims, rejoice. Allah Ta'ala's help is coming. Allah Ta'ala's help is near. And in that, there was a worry, because the Muslims must not be attacked from within, and also the women were in a certain fortress, and Qurayza is not far from there. So a lot of dua, and in that, Allah gave hidayah to one man. He was from the Ghatfan tribe. His name was Nu'aym bin Mas'ud. He was one of the leaders of the Ghatfan. Ghatfan is one of the tribes that also came, and they held the largest number. And before that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was thinking, let me make an agreement with the Ghatfan, just to make it easy for my people. I'll tell them, I'll give them produce from Medina, and let them, you know, leave this battle, because they got nothing to do with it. They actually came because Quraysh and the Jews insisted on them to come. So they came for some monetary benefit, and they were the largest part of the army. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mashura with the two Sa'ads. He would always make mashura with the two Sa'ads. With Abu Bakr and Umar, the two Umaran. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum, he would also make mashura with the two Sa'ads. Sa'ad bin Mu'ad and Sa'ad bin Ubadah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made mashura with them. So Sa'ad bin Mu'adh said, O Nabi of Allah, if this is Allah's command that you must give them the produce of Medina for them to leave, you do that. But if it's not Allah's command and you want our opinion, it's this, that don't give them anything. Allah is going to help us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was worried about his Sahaba. He didn't want them to suffer. That's why he was considering this. And then he listened to the opinions of the two Sa'ad. And in this interim, this man by the name of Nu'aym, he is resting in his tent late at night, and he's thinking to himself, what am I doing here? I'm coming to fight Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for what? He is Allah's man. For no reason at all, I'm coming here to fight him. When there's no benefit in this, why must I hurt a man who didn't harm me in the least? He actually has good in him. Why don't I listen to him? Why don't I also change my life and become good like him? And imagine, Allah put it in the heart of this individual. He was one of the leaders of the Ghatfan, and this entered his heart. So he sneaks into Medina and he comes to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to accept Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very happy, you know, explained to him. He read the kalima. Then he said, O Nabi of Allah, any task of deen, I am ready. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, does anyone know you're coming to accept Islam? He says, nobody at all. So he said, O Nabi of Allah, I can do something. I can actually disunite them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, do what you can. Because in battlefield, there is legalization of, you know, trying your best to defend your people. So a certain form of treachery is permissible, you know, in battle. You know, to actually defeat your enemy. So now, he goes to the Jews. The Jews of Medina, Qurayza, were very close to him. Because he would very often come to Medina whenever he wanted to enjoy himself. Deeds that he would perpetrate before his Islam, women and so forth. That was before he changed his life. So he would come to Medina for that. So the Jews of Qurayza knew him very, very well. So he come, and whenever he wanted to enjoy himself, he would come here by the Jews. So he comes there by them, and they had a lot of trust in him. So he says to them, you know my trust, you know the trust that I have, that I have for you and you have for me. They said, yes, yes, Nu'aym, we don't doubt you in the least. So he said to them, I got some points to share with you. You people have joined in this agreement and this battle with the people outside Medina. But that was foolish of you to do. Because now, when they lose, they're going to go back home, and your home is here. So if they're going to return home, you're going to be alone to face Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't the wise thing for you to do at all. He said, hey, yeah, you're right, Nu'aym. What can we do? So Nu'aym says that when they command you to attack the Muslims from within, don't listen to them. Unless they send to you approximately 70 people to actually be with you in Medina. So even if they have to leave from outside, you got their people with you, so they won't leave you alone. So you can keep them as hostage. They said, hey, Nu'aym, you gave us good advice. Very, very good. And now he goes to the mushrikeen of Quraysh outside the trench. He gets there. He meets Abu Sufyan. They all trust him very much. He said to them, you know, something I came to tell you all, that these Jews inside Medina, they have regretted going against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now they want to make it up to him to come back into his allegiance. And they promised him that they will get from your 70 people as hostage, and they will hand over the 70 to you. You can decide their fate. Abu Sufyan and the others were thinking, is it true what you are saying? But anyway, the Saturday after that, the next day or so was a Saturday, so this Abu Sufyan and his men sent a message to the people, of the Jews of Qurayza. I want you all now to attack from inside, and we will attack from outside. So the Jews responded reluctantly, no, we're not prepared to fight today, it's a Saturday, and we will not go fight until you'll give us 70 hostages. When they come back with the message, Abu Sufyan and the Meccans and the Quraysh, they said, yes, what Nu'aym said was right. So already, this was a great means of crumbling them from within. And after that, you know, Allah Ta'ala weakened them, and we did discuss Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu's life, where, how he went out to him, and he saw that really they are losing, because Allah Ta'ala sent winds, and Allah Ta'ala made them miserable outside there, and Allah Ta'ala then helped the believer. And now this battle of Khandaq was ended, and it was a battle of nerves, where they gave up first, and they walked away from around Medina, and they returned to Makkah Mukarramah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns home now. When he returns home, Allah sends Jibreel alayhi salam to inform him that you are going home, but the malaika of Allah Ta'ala have not changed yet. They are still, you know, waiting. They are waiting because we have to go to Qurayza. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Sahaba, every one of you, go to Qurayza and make your Asr Salah in Qurayza. Go to Qurayza and make your, perform your Asr Salah there. لا يصلينا أحدكم العصر إلا ببني قريظة. No one should perform Asr except in Banu Qurayza. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to teach Qurayza a lesson because they were under the Muslims. They were supposed to be loyal to the Muslims. Leave alone helping the Muslims in defending Medina, which was part of the clause. They actually backstabbed the Muslims and perpetrated treason. That's why it was unacceptable what they did. And now, in the battle of Khandaq, Sa'd bin Mu'adh got shot. The great Sahabi. Where was he shot? Bin Akhul, in his vein. Akhul is the medial arm vein. If you turn your arm and you look towards the inner portion, on the front of the elbow, not at the elbow, in the inside portion of the arm, in front of the elbow, there's a vein there. That's a very crucial vein in the body. That's called the Akhal. Sa'd radiallahu anhu was shot there. And now when he was shot there, there was profuse blood, you know, flowing of blood from the body of Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu made a dua. Oh Allah, I always want to be shaheed in your path to give my life for your deen. But oh Allah, if these mushrikeen are going to continue, the Meccan people are going to continue coming to harm my deen and harm my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, keep me, spare me for that. But if not, and they're not going to come back to Medina to attack again, then you take me to you. But my Allah, one more request. Don't take me until you sort out these Banu Qurayza who perpetrated treason against my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and against my Muslim brothers. I want you and I to analyze this great dua of Sa'd radiallahu anhu. He didn't just ask Allah to become shaheed. He asked Allah, Allah, the task of deen must be fulfilled, and then you take me to you. I want us to understand the depth and the beauty and the concern of deen that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had. He doesn't just say, Allah, take me. But Allah, my deen is priority. My deen must be solved. These people mustn't come back to attack my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. Then you take me, and I'm happy, and I want to come to you. And then he was so ill, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranged a special tent for him in the sehen of the masjid, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could see to him. And a sahabiya by the name of Rufaida Aslamiya, who was a profession in this task, she was appointed to tend to Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. My respected listeners, my time has elapsed. There is a continuation in regards to toward the end of Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu's life. We will have to continue with that in the coming week, inshallah. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah give us tawfiq to respect the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and defend the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and love the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We do not tolerate anyone, you know, mocking, laughing, disregarding, disrespecting the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because even listening to that and agreeing, our iman will be at stake. Be careful of this, my respected listeners. Let us read equals for the Sahabi and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أحمد رحمة.